It's the weekend. You can do anything you want. Volunteer at a homeless shelter. Work on a peace plan for the Middle East. Invent something truly useful like a machine that solves climate change while also picking up after your dog. But no, you've decided to spend your precious time on Earth listening to a bunch of white men talk over the top of each other. The world may be burning, but this is your me time. Welcome to Radio Chaser Platinum Edition.
Welcome to the weekend and the Platinum Edition of Radio Chaser. Coming up, Lorde versus Kanye West, accusations of stealing her set. It's all gotten very heated. All the facts you need to know about Christmas. And would you have a microchip implanted into your body for your boss? Some people around the world are actually doing this. It's all coming up right here on Radio Chaser.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
Welcome to another week of Radio Chaser. You are joined by the People's Champion, Charles Firth.
Thank you.
The Michael Winslow of our program, Andrew Hansen, and the only presenter in the country of television shows who wears T-shirts besides Todd Sampson, Chaz Licciardello. That's
and
right.
And we're joined by Dom's moustache.
It's not in its best shape, but I'm doing Movember.
Now, Dom, you've got something on the bottom of your lip. I wouldn't go so far to say moustache, but can I ask... Have you trimmed it? Is that what you've done with it?
No.
That hair that's growing.
The Movember rules are very clear. Yeah. You've got to start, because people just already, like you've got a beard. Some people cheat and just shave that into a moustache and it looks like a moustache from day one. Yeah. The whole point of Movember is you're supposed to look terrible for the whole month for a good cause.
So because you're incredibly hairy over the rest of your body, and yet somehow you're unable to grow any hair of any substance underneath your nose.
There's a bit of a problem.
There is.
So the last time I did Movember, I think, was in 2014, and it went really well. I raised $1,200.
And were you single back then?
Yeah, I was.
I think you must have raised money per hair.
No, I wasn't single, actually. I was in a new relationship. My wife was very supportive. She still is. But no, because my beard's gone grey. So it looks really patchy. It's actually there's quite a lot there.
Oh, there is
very
actually.
Patchy. Yeah. But look, the thing is, I've got a bit of a bone to pick, and I'm wondering whether I should stick with it, because we got an email a few months ago saying, you know, Radio Chaser guys, really getting on board with Movember. It's a big deal. We're partnering with them. Who wants to do it? And no one else said yes. I was the only person who went, I'll do it. I've done it before. Get on board.
Dom, you could have taken the hint.
Someone said, I'll only do it if I can grow a Hitler moustache, which
was me,
not quite in the principle of the Movember event. But so I went, yeah, I'll do it. Why not? And I just went and talked to one of the people here who's organising the relationship. And I said, how do I sign up for the team? Like, because you can join a team in your workplace. Yeah. She was like, there's no team.
No.
They're not doing. But Dommy, I mean, have you put us through the misery of having to look at your moustache for nothing? I mean, Charles's Hitler moustache would be much less offensive than the one you've currently got on your face.
I'm looking at my MoSpace, mobro.co/domknight. Yes, the total raised so far is $0. I haven't yet got around to mentioning it. I haven't tweeted it. I haven't put it on Facebook.
No, it's because of what it looks like, Dom. That's why you've got $0.
Dom, it could be worse.
I think it's worth $0. But look, I do feel a bit silly because they've actually just launched a new program. It's much easier than growing a moustache. Next year, I'm signing up for this.
Hi, I'm Scott Morrison. Forget Movember. I invite you to join me for the most unpopular month of all, ScoMovember.
It's so easy. Just spend 30 days behaving like a daggy boofhead who thinks people actually say fair dinkum.
ScoMovember is fair dinkum, cobbers.
ScoMovember. It makes growing an embarrassing moustache seem like a great alternative.
I'll grow a moustache if you vote for me, or shave it off if the polls say I should, or maybe I should grow it on half my face, or maybe I should...
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
Well, look, it's basically Christmas time, at least according to the shops. So we're going to get very, very festive right here on Radio Chaser and give you some facts about the festival known as Christmas.
Fact that's amazing.
Christmas is the annual celebration of buying cheap shit from China that some say used to have something to do with Jesus Christ.
Fact.
Adoy.
One of the big problems that Santa has these days is that people for the ethical treatment of animals are very upset about the use of reindeer slave labour, especially since those reindeer use real fur. They constantly throw buckets of blood all over the sleigh. It's a real issue.
Fact.
Yes. We went off a bit too early there, a bit like Christmas in the shops. Photocopying your ass at the Christmas party is no longer appropriate behaviour in 2018. Instead, just send a company-wide PDF.
Fact. The festival of Christmas is named after Jesus Christmas, the fat, jolly son of God invented by Coca-Cola.
Fact.
Even though Christmas can be enjoyable, there is a somber side to the celebration because each year it leads to thousands of people rewatching Love Actually.
Extremely factual.
I'm actually going to correct some of the facts you guys have been saying. Because the real reason for Christmas, with all the commercialization, Santa Claus, etc., it's a shame people have forgotten the real reason for Christmas. It's not what you guys said. It's to remind you of exactly why you don't visit your family any other day of the year.
Fact.
In the era of Me Too, you should not put up mistletoe at your office Christmas party.
Fact.
And finally, at Christmas, children wait for a bearded man to sneak in through the fireplace. If you've been good, it's Santa Claus. If you've been bad, it's Rolf Harris.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
And guys, I'm torn. I'm incredibly torn that this next story, because this British biotech firm called Biotech has started. It started implanting chips into humans, so that you don't have to have a swipe card or something like that when you go to work.
Why would you be torn? That is awesome.
No, well, and the whole thing. This is why I'm torn though, Chaz, is because on the one hand, obviously, this is the start of a totalitarian regime where we all get turned into robots and we become part of the Matrix.
Which is great.
What's the upside? Yeah.
No, which is bad.
You think that's great.
But on the other hand, I always lose
up for the Matrix.
I always lose my pass. And I would love, I think I just want one. I really want a chip inside me.
Man, this is a step towards having lasers inside you, man. This is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
You want lasers inside you?
It'd be like Transformers. That'd be the best.
Actually, they already have started a pilot scheme right here in Australia.
Hi, welcome to the Animal Shelter. Are you interested in adopting or have you lost a pet?
Neither. I've lost one of my employees. Wonder if anyone might have handed him in.
Was he microchipped?
Of course he was. He's an employee of a large greedy company.
I'll just look him up on the database. Does he have a name?
Yeah, Stefanovic. Carl Stefanovic. I'm the producer of his breakfast show and he often goes missing. He's a very naughty boy.
Ah, yes. Looks like he's been handed in. We have him locked up over here in Cage 9. Although, made an awful mess. Beer cans everywhere.
Oh, what a stench. Oh, look, come on, boy. Look, I know you don't want to go, but we have to get back to the studio. Yes. No, boy, no, you're not allowed to go by Uber. Oh, I give up. This is even harder than when I had to collect Carl Sanderlands.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
Right now, it's time for our brand new quiz.
Google me this.
Google me this. This is the brand new Radio Chaser quiz. You know, like when you do a Google search and you type in your search and you're about halfway into typing it and Google already starts preempting what you might want to search.
Gives you suggestions.
There's autocomplete.
Yeah.
And so this is a quiz based on that phenomenon. I'm going to read out half a Google search and then tell you the three of real responses.
Okay.
That Google suggests when you start typing these words. All you need to do is tell me what is the top one.
Okay.
And I assume the algorithm is based on the most popular searches people around the world are doing. So this is an insight into humanity.
Yes,
this
exactly.
Or at least an insight into what teenagers are Googling in this day and age. Andrew Hansen, do you understand the rules?
I do. I'm slightly concerned that you could be wrong about the thing that people around the world. It could actually, this could, if these are embarrassing answers, could be based just on your personal history you've searched for. I'm interested now to hear the appalling suggestions that have come from Chris Taylor's own Google account.
Well, if that is the case, this becomes even more intriguing. Okay, Andrew, you're first. The Google search is, how can you tell? How can you tell? And these are all real answers. You just need to tell me the top one. If eggs are fresh, if a girl likes you, if you have worms.
Those are the top three.
If eggs are fresh, if a girl likes you, or how can you tell if you have worms? These are all legitimate Google autocomplete responses. You need to tell me the top one.
Hanson, by the way, I think you're spot on. These are definitely Taylor's searches.
I know. I have no doubt now that this is definitely your personal history.
An answer, please.
Now, I've got to tell you, how can you tell? I reckon, look, if it is a global thing, or you, it's the girl one. That's what everybody wants to know.
No. How can
really?
How can you tell if eggs are fresh?
That's the number one.
And guess what number two is? How can you tell if eggs are off? So people really want to know about get eggs on Google.
That's Craig's son Googling.
Yeah, that's right.
How can you tell what an egg is?
All right, it's that simple to play, Craig. Batter up your Google search.
Yep.
Who should you call?
Mm-hmm.
Who should you call ma'am? Who should you call doctor? Or who should you call when someone dies at home? These are all legitimate, real, legit Google responses. All I want to know is what is the top one? Who should you call ma'am? Who should you call doctor? Or who should you call when someone dies at home?
Okay, I'm going to move doctor out of it, and that's because I figure that that's an easier one. Like, the answer to who should you call doctor is doctors. I feel like that shouldn't be there. I reckon, who should you call when someone dies at home?
Oh,
no. What is it?
Who should you call doctor?
Really?
I thought it was going to be who should you call Ghostbusters, but anyway.
All right, Dom. What is the right number of bridesmaids, Facebook friends, credit cards to have?
It's the right.
Oh, in terms of my own insecurities, definitely Facebook friends.
Now, these are all legitimate answers. I just need the top one. What is the right number of bridesmaids? What is the right number of Facebook friends? Or what is the right number of credit cards to have? You're saying...
Yeah, I'm saying Facebook friends.
And you'd be absolutely wrong. What is the right number of... Top answer?
Bridesmaids.
Credit cards to have.
What?
Who's Googling that?
What do you mean? What's the right number of Facebook friends? You go, it's 302. Sorry, mate. You got to get off. I've got too many friends.
Look, we'll do one more of these. This can be an all-in. All-in challenge for the final one here. And Google me this. What is the French word for? Behind?
Mm-hmm.
Yes or love? What is the French word for behind, yes, or love?
It's love. This is people trying to impress girls they're hoping to pick up, isn't it? And
no,
they want to say, bonjour.
I think it's behind for the exact same reason. I think it's yes, because that's we, and President Trump's very into that.
All right, Craig is the winner. It's what is the French word for behind? And that has been Google Me This.
Google Me This.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
Now, Kanye West. Do we play Kanye? Look, I don't know, but he's in trouble. Because
we should play him. Add him some money.
Hang on. He's the guy married to one of the Kardashians?
Yes. He's known that's as the guy.
Yeah.
The guy who does something in the relationship.
Right.
The guy with a job. Mm. He's been accused of copying. Now, you know the singer Lorde, right? Mm, she's accused Kanye West today of copying the set from her concert tour, because she's got this very distinctive set that she's performed on in the past.
When you say set, you don't mean the
list
set list.
I don't mean the set list.
So Kanye's not getting up and doing, the entire Lorde songbook.
I reckon you'd be able to easy to pick that. I reckon he's doing the Lorde songs.
Yeah, that song sounds very familiar. Isn't it my number one single? No, he's copied the design on stage. Mm. It's got this sort of fish tank full of people that floats in the air above the stage. And Lorde's gotten cranky on Instagram and said, don't copy me, Kanye West. This is an unusual thing, I suppose, for any pop star to find that they haven't been plagiarised musically, but their entire set's been nicked. Well, Kanye, I think, hasn't learned his lesson, though. Take a listen.
A Radio Chaser Entertainment Update. First, he stole Lorde's concert stage design. Now, rapper Kanye West is accused of stealing yet another famous set.
I have one message for Kanye. You're a thief and you're a flaming galah.
Actor Ray Ma, better known as Alf Stewart from Home and Away, is furious. He claims the Life of Pablo rapper stole his new concert set from Ma's popular Channel 7 series.
I went to his flaming gig and I couldn't believe my flaming eyes. There on stage, that the whole set was identical to my diner in Summer Bay.
Someday, someday. Critics found the resemblance uncanny, with West even pulling a lager from Alf's beer taps while singing his hit Gold Digger.
The last straw was when Kanye stole Principal Fisher as a flaming backup singer.
Now that don't kill me, can only make me stronger.
But bad turned to worse the following night, when Kanye appeared with a new set. This one clearly based on the ABC News weather report. Weatherman Graham Creed is appalled.
There he was, singing his number one anthem, Heartless, right in front of my synoptic chart. Get your own meteorology department, Kanye.
Only time will tell which stage designs Kanye will steal next, with some fearing tomorrow's concert could even take place on the set of Hey Dad. This is Chris Taylor for Radio Chaser.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
It's Radio Chaser, where it's time for us all to make lots of money.
$1 million idea.
This is the segment where we come up with inventions that try to make the world a much better place to live in. And yet, look, it is called $1 million idea. And Dom, I often get a little bit self-conscious when you set this idea up as an opportunity to make money.
I get excited.
I know, but it's more about the ideas than the money, if we're being brutally honest. Like, you know, and I've been running this segment now since the start of the year, since February, and we haven't made a lot.
How much money have you made so far, Chris, on these $1 million ideas?
Well, we'll round it up to the nearest dollar zero. So I just think we need a slightly more realistic approach towards some of these ideas in this segment. So we now call it
$1.50 idea.
The brand new Radio Chaser.
Still talking it up.
I have got a genuine $1.50 idea for you boys. Now, you know, look, I'm going to be quite blunt. I don't like smoking. I don't like smokers. But here at the $1.50 ideas tank, I don't want to prejudice people. I'm open to any good idea. So even though I don't endorse smoking, I'm still here to recognise a problem in society and come up with a solution for it. Now, I've got a lot of mates who, you know, like to have a durry, and we can be at the pub and they've got to go outside to enjoy their cigarette. And they're missing out on good banter inside the pub. Like, you know, we might be gossiping about, politicians or the footy or each other's mates or girlfriends. And there's a whole 3-minute window that they just miss out on, which is suicide amongst a certain bunch of mates. Because if you leave the table for 10 seconds, you know everyone's going to start talking about you.
So it's taking 5 minutes off their life, but even longer in terms of the conversation.
Totally. So we've tried to come up with an idea so they're not still excluded from the camaraderie of the group.
Oh, that's very kind of you, Chris.
Thank you. And what I've come up with, it's sort of in its, you know, early development phase, but I'm kind of modelling it on those baby monitors, you know, that parents have, where they stick a baby monitor in a crib so they can hear what their baby's up to.
And that's how my kid smokes as well. So
I want all smokers just to leave a little, let's call it a mate's monitor, on the table when they go out for a smoke.
A banter monitor.
A banter monitor so they don't miss out on any of the fun repartee.
Oh, that's interesting. I was so thinking this was going to some kind of gigantic long cigarette so you could stay inside.
You've seen phase two of my plans.
Oh, really? that's not a bad idea. So you just bring a baby monitor.
Well, let's not call it a baby monitor. I mean, I've never used a baby monitor.
I've used a baby monitor. And it's interesting, actually, because some of the baby monitors have a higher kind of technology in them, right? So there's ones that you can put and they go under the mattress and they have like a heart monitor in case the baby stops breathing, which is also a good thing for your smoking mates.
Well, I'm excited about this, Chris, because as someone who's got a quite young baby, I don't go to the pub very much. So I'd like to have this on a permanent basis. So I'm at home minding the child.
That's not bad.
But I can still do the banter with my mates at the pub having a drink.
Not bad. You could almost take, you know, be off for a year from work, like on paternity leave. But you don't miss out on any hot water cooler gossip in the office
because
you've got your banter monitor.
Drawback I can think of, Chris, is based on my baby monitor, is it only works one way. You can listen to the baby, but you can't actually talk to the baby. So in your scenario, you'd basically, your mates would be sitting in the pub just listening to...
Oh, no. You've got the monitor around entirely
the wrong way, Andrew.
I mean, that's not bad. If, for people who are really interested in the sound of someone smoking, you could leave the monitor with the smoker outside.
So the smoker listens to the mates.
But the smoker can't chip in with any witticisms.
No.
Which is bad, because if the smoker gets a really good gag, he's got to come back in and go, remember about 3 minutes ago, guys, you're talking about this. What I wanted to say, you know, I think this is such a great idea that I'm going to do Radio Chaser by Baby Mojo.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
It's all about onions at Bunnings.
It's, is a very, very sober day for all Australians. This is the day that historians will note that Australia lost a little bit of its identity. Those things that defined us as a nation, that we thought were black and white, that we thought were unchangeable, fixed in the Constitution, have been rocked to the core. Oh. And I am talking, of course, about the decision by Bunnings Warehouse, where lowest prices are just the beginning, has decided to flip their famous sausage sandwich on its head. On its head, I say, by putting the onions, previously very enjoyably conveniently placed on top of the sausage, underneath the sausage.
Where
the humanity. Look, the reasons you I'll give you three guesses. Why do you think they've decided to flip a sandwich that's worked for centuries on its head?
Because they're insane psychopaths, Chris.
ISIS. It's ISIS.
It's worse than that, Andrew. I'll give you a guess.
Look, is it because they've got some sort of onion kind of nuclear war threat that's onion-shaped missiles headed this way?
All of those would have been perfectly acceptable reasons, and yet, in the age of Australia in 2018, it's occupational health and safety. I don't know if the CSIRA has been consulted on this, but apparently onions on top are a hazard, because it only takes one to fall and suddenly there's people slipping all over the warehouse, and that's not good for lowest prices. So they've put a directive out. This is absolutely true. I'm sure you know about this. It's all anyone's talking about. They put a directive out to all the people who man the sausage sizzle at our Bunnings outlets. And the directive is you have to put the onions underneath the sausage. Look, is this political correctness gone mad, Charles?
I mean, I think, Chris, we have finally found an issue that Australia is prepared to wage a war of aggression over.
Yeah.
Like, this is bigger than Sandpapergate.
Huge.
Which they actually got from a Bunnings.
They did.
I'm waiting to hear. I want to hear. We've already heard Scott Morrison came out and said that he would have it either way, which I think is a huge cop out.
Classic flip flop Morrison.
But I want to
take a position, ScoMo.
I want to hear what our neighbours are thinking. What is the Indonesian president thinking? Yeah. What is the New Zealand president thinking?
Yeah.
Because if they're on the wrong side of this, then it's war.
What's Donald Trump thinking?
Exactly.
Yeah. We're a laughing stock, an international laughing stock.
I don't think I've ever seen a sausage sandwich where the onions are on the bottom. No. The thing is, though, I mean, as we mentioned, apparently it is for OH&S reasons. Mm. And look, I can only assume that someone somewhere in Australia has slipped on an onion and this has got a whole lot of people in a panic.
Well, I think that's true. I mean, I'm sick of going to Bunnings. Like, every weekend I go to Bunnings. Mm. Slip over, break my leg.
I know.
Can't get anything done in the backyard.
Well, if you actually look at the history of it, the actual genesis of this new policy, and as we said, it's a directive that's gone out to everyone who's manning a barbecue at Bunnings this weekend. It's because, well, I think you all know the reason. There was a very fateful day, one Saturday, last September.
As a serving police officer, there are certain calls you always pray you never get.
Hello, 000.
You've got to help us. There's a man at the sausage sizzle here at Bunnings, and he's...
Sir, you'll have to slow down.
He's just bought a sausage and...
And what, sir?
And the onions are on the outside!
We'll dispatch someone straight away.
When we got to the scene, it was just chaos. People were screaming, doing whatever they could to get out of there. Not easy, of course, when half the aisles at Bunnings are congested with staff members filming those f***ing Bunnings commercials.
sir. This is the police. Put the sausage sandwich down. Repeat, put the sausage sandwich down.
And that's when it happened. In the mayhem, one of the onions from his sandwich fell to the ground.
Attention all motorists. We have a loose onion on the ground. All other roads in the area have been shut down. Please do not leave your homes unless you absolutely have to. Repeat.
It was now obviously a very live situation. One onion down, and who knew how many more might follow.
So police took the decision to disarm the sausage assailant. The only problem was that we weren't carrying our guns at the time, but luckily at Bunnings, they have an excellent range of nail guns at very competitive prices.
Drop the sausage, sir! Drop the sausage! Law! Law! Come on! At Bunnings, law sausages are just the beginning!
The assailant tried to make his escape, but as fate would have it, he slipped on his own onion. And like most people who accidentally tread on a bit of onion, he died instantly.
Even though he was dead, we still had a live onion on the ground, so we had to call in the onion disposal squad.
It's too dangerous! I can't do it! The onion on the ground is raw! I repeat, raw onion!
And there's only one person in the world who can dispose of raw onion.
Clear the scene! Clear the scene! Make way for Tony Abbott!
And say what you like about him as a politician, but Tony Abbott was a true Australian hero that day.
Yeah. But we still shot him with our nail guns while we had the chance.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
Ah. I was reading an article recently, cruising is going through the roof.
Yeah.
Remember like 10, even 20 years ago, it had a really daggy reputation? Like it was something your grandparents did and no one else would consider it. It's now the fastest growing sector in the whole of travel. And apparently, you know, travel agents, like your Flight Centre attendants and stuff, apparently they're incentivised to book you on a cruise because there's really good commissions and stuff. It's a very competitive industry.
Right, you know, because I've always found it really weird. Have you ever been on a cruise?
I haven't.
Yeah, because it's one of those things where you're just going, the whole reason why they invented aeroplanes was because being on a cruise was terrible.
Yeah.
Like, do you think that, like, when aeroplanes finally get superseded by something else, like teletransportation, people will still catch aeroplanes and go, oh, I want to be on the plane. Yeah. I want to be on the plane for 14 hours. Yeah. Isn't this fun sitting around for 14 hours?
But it's so true, though. But you notice it. I don't know if you've been into a travel agency recently, but you can tell they're all on the take. You can tell, they're incentivized to upsell you. Because, you know, I tried to book a holiday recently and something seemed a little bit sus.
Hello, I'd like to book a holiday, please.
Certainly, sir. And which particular cruise did sir have his eye on?
Not a cruise. I'd like to go to Africa. My wife and I are very keen to do a safari.
I see. You are aware most of the game parks are inland, sir.
So?
Very difficult to get the cruise ships in, and bound to frighten the wildlife if we try.
No, we...
I could put you on a cruise that gets you to the coastline of Africa. Giraffes are very tall. You'd probably still see them from the ship's deck.
No.
Or we could put some elephants and hippos in one of the ship's bars, so you'd still get a safari-style experience.
I don't think you understand. We're not interested in doing a cruise. We'd like to do a proper safari in Kenya, and then travel up to Egypt to see the pyramids and the Nile.
Oh, a Nile River cruise. Well, why didn't you say so, sir?
No, no cruises. No ships. We want to self-drive the whole trip in a Jeep.
Very difficult to play quoits in a Jeep, sir.
What?
No pool, no theatre shows at night. I mean, I could see if Ugly Dave Gray's still happy to perform in your Jeep.
Just about enough of this.
You leaving, sir?
Well,
let me book a taxi for you.
I'm fine.
No trouble at all. In fact, here's one pulling up now.
You booked me a cruise ship to take me 5 minutes down the road?
I'm a travel agent, sir. We get everybody on a cruise in the end. Say hi to Ugly Dave from me.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
We're very much arriving at cricket season here in Australia, and I, for one, am very, very happy about that. But it's an interesting time in Australian cricket.
Mm.
There's been big rights TV deals, so Channel 9's lost the cricket.
Yes.
Channel 7 has picked up the cricket. Mm. We're in an era, I guess, where you'd say it hasn't been the most outstanding year for Australian cricket. Would you say there's been one or two little hiccups?
Yeah, I want my money back if I was Channel 7 at this point, I think.
Well, this is the thing. So the climate is very, very tense. if you were having to promote the game of cricket right now in 2018, you'd want to get it right.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, if you were the copywriter writing the ad for Channel 7 for the first ad saying cricket is clean, cricket is wholesome, cricket is family friendly.
It's roast chicken.
It's roast chicken.
There's nothing dodgy to see here.
That's the sort of promo you'd want to write, yeah?
Yes.
This is the promo Channel 7 has come up with to advertise their summer of cricket.
Hold on, I'm coming. Hold on, I'm coming. Hold on, I'm coming. Hold on, I'm coming.
And that goes on for about another 4 hours of various former cricketers just saying, hold on, I'm coming.
Say cricket or rugby league?
Well, no, cricket. Now, what do you think the thinking is here? To give context, the people you just heard from were, you know, former greats. Ricky Ponting, Glenn McGrath, Slats.
Michael Slater, yeah.
Damien Fleming. I mean, they're all saying, hold on, I'm coming. What's the message do you think they're trying to communicate with Channel 7 and cricket?
Well, you know, you were saying it's been a bit of a tense year, so they have to relieve that tension.
It takes longer when you're older, Taylor. It's just the way it goes.
Do you reckon they're aware of the double meaning, or is this just a complete cock-up?
It's got to be.
No pun.
They can't sell it on, you're going to watch a great season of cricket, you know, or Australia's going to win or something like that. So they have to sell it with sex. It's just marketing 101.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe it's a new form of cheating. I don't know. Something else on the ball.
Right. And look, I think it makes sense. Like Mark Taylor isn't on their commentary team. He's still back at Nine.
Right.
And I think that whole breath of fresh air, the fact that Mark Taylor's not there can mean that cricket can suddenly become a lot more sexy.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
So we need a separate promo of all the people saying, hold on, I'm not coming.
Yeah.
So like Mark Taylor, James Sutherland, Warner, Smith, all the people who aren't coming at the moment, there'd be a rival.
Have you actually seen the ad? Like, we've heard the ad, but have you actually seen it? Like,
the vision's pretty generic of people just playing cricket.
Are they just holding their balls?
No, not really.
Well, you can't really see below the waist is my recollection, so I'm not too sure exactly what's going on.
Anyway, there it is. So cricket is coming to Channel 7, and look, the only real surprise about that promo is that the only person who's not saying, hold on, I'm coming, is Shane Warne.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
Now, you know how they say robots are going to take over the world? We're kind of there. We're getting very, very close. And the first world, or one of the first worlds they're taking over, is the world of the news. In China, I don't know if you saw this, China has unveiled this week their very first artificial intelligence newsreader. Now, obviously, China needs these because they don't have much population in China, so there's no one to actually do the job of an actual newsreader. So they've come up with a very lateral solution. See, there's a little taste of their first artificial intelligence news anchor.
Hello, everyone. I'm an English artificial intelligence anchor. This is my very first day in Xinhua News Agency. My voice and appearance are modeled on Zhang Zhao, a real anchor with Xinhua.
So yeah, I mean it's authoritative in one sense.
So you see him on the screen.
He looks pretty much like a newsreader, and as you said in his own little spiel there, he's modelled after an actual newsreader. I mean, could you see yourself watching an AI person giving the news?
I mean, I don't watch the news anyway, so I guess what's the difference, really?
But it's sort of, you know, the interesting thing about this is that, you know, it's very early days. It's only going to get better and better, this technology. And the theory is, in the age of the 24-hour news cycle, you know, newsreaders can't keep up. So if you can just have a robot there in the seat all day doing the news, it's going to make it much easier, you know.
Yeah, and I suppose newsreaders aren't really supposed to be emotional anyway, are they? So maybe something that is completely devoid of real human feelings is, you know, the perfect newsreader.
If only Emma Alberici was a robot, there would have been no opinion, no emotion in any of those articles she wrote about the trickle-down tax effects. But look, it's not just China. Australia's sort of starting to get a little bit interested in this.
Really? Is Sandra Sully
no,
a robot?
No, I won't hear a bad word against Sandra. But no, apparently Channel 9 is the first to really explore this technology, and they've been doing sort of little tests on robotic newsreaders this week.
Good evening. Making news this hour, British Prime Minister Theresa May says her cabinet has agreed
to a draft. What's this? What's it doing?
Ah, my apologies. I appear to have set it to serious news. Let me just turn it to the Channel 9 setting for you.
Uproar today as Bunnings gives the sausage Sanger a makeover.
That's better, but can we make it a bit more Channel 9?
The Bunnings sausage saga has been slammed by host of Channel 9's The Block, Scott Camp.
Perfect. And can it do banter with the weather presenter?
Not even humans have learnt how to do that.
What about local politics?
Of course.
To Canberra now, bring back Tony Abbott. Bring back Tony Abbott. Bring back
What's
Tony
happening?
Abbott.
It seems to be malfunctioning.
I accidentally just switched it to the Sky News setting. It's very adaptable. Look, you can change it to SBS mode.
400 people have died horribly in a flood.
Waleed Ali mode.
The UFC is completely staged and also hates Muslims.
Even Karl Stefanovic mode.
I'm having a midlife crisis. And we'll probably get the sack any day now.
So it's a very versatile little unit.
And you can't make its voice sound a little bit more natural, more human?
That's as natural as we can make it at the moment. Why, is that a problem?
No, not really. He's definitely less robotic than Peter Overton.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.